This is the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now back to Frank Cusimano on 590 The Fan and 590thefan.com.
Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box. Now is the outstanding columnist with the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Benjamin Hockman. Hey, I know you commented on my... Welcome back. Hollywood Casino Press Box, all new 590 The Fan. Joining us now is the outstanding columnist with the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, Benjamin Hockman. Hey, I know you commented on my tribute to the Blues that we had done where we saved a bunch of Post-Dispatch sports sections and some pictures on the ice. What is your keepsake from this season? What have you done?
Oh, honestly, I've created a whole sales at my house. Mrs. Hockman was nice enough to encourage me to do that. And I have everything from pucks to press passes to other things I've gathered from the playoff run. It really was the coolest thing I'll ever be a part of as a journalist.
Wait a minute. You're admitting live on radio that you stole a puck from the Blues?
It was as soon as the game ended, they were all cheering by the goal. I don't know if you saw, I ran out on the ice. And
it'll be on eBay in about 2 weeks. That is good. That is great. So we're in agreement, and you're much younger, but that's the best sports story you've ever covered.
No question. I mean, obviously, Game 6, 2011, was the greatest game, single game any of us in St. Louis will ever be around, be a part of. But look at it this way. If the St. Louis Blues had been the best team all season, won the President's Trophy, and then won the Stanley Cup, it would be a huge story because it was their first ever Stanley Cup. Oh, but by the way, they were the worst team on January 3rd. It took a fourth-string goalie. We all know the stories. A local legend scoring a double overtime series winner against Dallas, and then all these other storylines to then win the Stanley Cup for St. Louis for the first time ever. Amazing.
Gut feel that local legend, Pat Maroon, will he be on the team next season?
I don't think so. And I've actually personally struggled with whether I want him back or not. And I think it's just better for him to go to Calgary, get a multi-year deal wherever he goes, because he is in a perfect situation right now. He is on top. His legacy will never be tarnished in this town. He is a local hero. Why come back and then find yourself being a healthy scratch? Why come back struggling and people are like, oh, my God, Maroon. Well, yeah, he helped us win the cup, but goodness gracious, he's lost it, if, of course, any of that was to happen.
Yeah, it's got to be a first in world sports history that a guy comes back to his hometown and has one of the most iconic moments in that franchise's history, and then leaves, 2 months later. There's no way that's happened before.
Yeah, nothing's coming to mind right now. It is a unique situation, and it's ours. Pat Maroon, I mean, I joked to his brother, I said they should get in touch with Freeze and open a sports bar called Freeze and Maroons, the ultimate St. Louis sports bar. Everyone would go.
Boy, that's good stuff. Yeah, not bad. All right, let's get to baseball. And you wrote about it, I guess it was the other day, that you go into the break, you're 44-44, and Paul Goldschmidt is hitting .254, and the team was 12th in the league in OPS, but you're only two games out of first. It's crazy.
Yeah, because, of course, if I told you that in spring training about two games out, you would have taken it. But all those other things, you would have said, oh, no way I want that. But the Cardinals can be better. Well, they're both of those things right now. They're in the division hunt, but a lot of things are going to have to change if they're going to play better in the second half. Of course, Paul Goldschmidt is the anchor, should be the anchor of this offense. But, man, when you just go down the lineup, I mean, each dude has been a disappointment.
With as bad as the offense has been, if you were the manager, wouldn't you, and I know you can mix and match things, but wouldn't you almost every night have Jairo Munoz and Jose Martinez in the lineup?
Yeah, that's a very good point, especially the way Jairo is in clutch situations. I know a lot of people say, well, there's no more clutch in sports. It's, during the course of 600 at-bats, it all evens out. But Munoz, seventh inning on, Munoz with two strikes, Munoz with runners in the scoring position, for whatever reason, seems to produce. And he's not making errors. Last year, it was like, oh, he can play everywhere, but he'll make an error everywhere as well. This year, he's really improved there. So I'm with you. Get Jairo in there as much as possible. And Jose Martinez, he just can't stop getting base hits.
What do you think about the pressure on John Mozeliak as we speak? Now, we know he has a tremendous relationship with Bill DeWitt, and he has made some great trades in the past, including, you know, the Goldschmidt move, at least on paper, was good. The Andrew Miller was good. But, you know, you go back to Holiday, the 2011 Kobe Rasmus deal. The guy's done some good things. But if they are playoffless again for the fourth consecutive year, do you think his job is in trouble?
Oh, I think they have to consider it if that happens. I mean, there's no question this guy is part of St. Louis sports history forever. Won them a World Series, got them to another, you know, like you said, so many amazing deals over the years. I think a lot of it comes down to, Frank, if they miss the playoffs this year, is it with an 87 win total or a 77 win total? Either way, you're pretty darn frustrated. If they are just terrible in the second half, that leads to a lot more questions in regards to the front office's future than if they're right there in the mix dancing around 90 wins. Either way, though, this is a team many of us, including myself, thought was going to win 95 games.
And everybody wanted to blame Mike Matheny for everything. And granted, he made some mistakes and had some strained relationships. But at least on paper, I think that, you know, Mike Schilt has a better team, and yet he's 500. I imagine if this were Matheny's teams, if this was a Matheny-managed team, they would be getting killed right now, the manager at least.
Yeah. I mean, and Schilt's only 162 games literally into this. That's how long his tenure has been so far. So, yeah, he has a little benefit of the doubt there. What's interesting is the role of the hitting coach. Clearly, it's the players that are not hitting the baseball well. But I am curious to see how this plays out with Jeff Albert, who came here so lauded. I mean, even Bill DeWitt Jr. at the press conference during winter warm-up was gushing about the abilities of Jeff Albert and the advocacy for contact that John Mozeliak said he was. Well, I mean, most of the hitters are regressing this year. How much of that is with the tutelage they're getting? It's very hard for us in the media to pinpoint that, but it's definitely something to discuss in scenarios like this.
Let me name the player, and you tell me if you think we're going to be impressed or feel about the same about this player the second half. Paul Goldschmidt.
Okay. Paul, I mean, he's going to be better. He can't be worse, and he kind of found his groove there in that final run there on the road.
Matt Carpenter.
I'm worried, man. I think it's going to be the same. I hate to be that guy, but I'm really worried with Matt Carpenter.
Harrison Bader.
Man, these are tough because, yeah, I mean, he's dancing around the Mendoza line, and he's got this amazing glove, but the hitting is not making up, or he's not making up for it because his hitting is so bad. I think he's going to end up on the bench. I wonder if you call up someone like a Randy Arozarena to take over for him, or at least give Randy a shot.
Yadier Molina.
I'm confident in Yadier. When he's healthy, when he's feeling good, he's an impact from the offensive end. And even if he had a leg amputated, he'd be an impact on the defensive end.
All right, let's do a little pitching here. Jack Flaherty.
I liked what I saw in San Francisco. That was Jack Flaherty at his best, his most confident. I think he'll have a better second half.
Michael Wacha.
You know, I've just been on the fence with Michael Wacha this year. It's hard to go all in on him, if I may.
What about Carlos Martinez?
You know, Carlos is going to have a good second half. He infuriates me. I was really frustrated with the way he came into camp, not in the best shape. He's probably the most talented pitcher in the organization, yet here he is letting people down, of course, not being in the rotation. But in those spurts of the bullpen, those 1- to 2-inning spurts, he can be effective. And I think part of him looks at it as a little redemption, you know, trying to get redemption by pitching well in the bullpen.
I feel good about Miles Michaelis. I know his numbers are not jaw-dropping, and he's been a disappointment. But, boy, you talk about a guy who's been really unlucky in terms of what's played behind him. It's Miles Michaelis, and I think he's going to be okay.
Yeah, I agree with you, Frank. And then, moreover, if you look at his ERA and WHIP at home, he's one of the better pitchers, in baseball or what have you. He's really good at Busch Stadium, and clearly he'll have a few starts there this summer.
A couple of quick basketball thoughts before we let you go. Your old stomping ground, a team you used to cover on a regular basis, the Denver Nuggets, maybe the third best team in the West as we speak. What about Michael Porter and his comeback trial?
Oh, my goodness. I was so excited. I guess it was last week that he was going to play in the summer league, finally, and he was telling Denver reporters, I'm going to dominate, and things like that. Then he gets banged up again. He can't play in summer league. I'd be afraid to even shake his hand at this point, fearing an injury. I still am high on the guy. I don't know if he's going to be an NBA All-Star, but that's the thing. The Denver Nuggets that you mentioned, the Stan Kroenke Denver Nuggets, are actually a really fun team to watch, a really young, talented team. And if he can just be a role player, we're talking about a team that should make the conference final.
Are you hearing anything on Jonte Porter, what he's going to do next?
I'm not. I don't know about you, Frank, but that talk about a sad turn of events, because he was one of the better players on that Mizzou Tigers team a couple years ago. That was one of the most exciting teams with Cassius Robinson and, of course, Jordan Barnett from St. Louis.
And what are your plans the rest of the summer? Do you get a little time off coming up? What are you going to do?
Yeah, Mrs. H and I are going to go out to L.A. and pretend we're cooler than we are. And then I'll be heading back and going to the ballpark a bunch.
Good stuff. Ben, we appreciate your time, sir. Talk to you soon.
Take care, Frank.
All right. Benjamin Hockman, Post-Dispatch, outstanding columnist. Before we end this program, I do want to tell you about Dr. Michael Jones. For all of your eye care needs, see Dr. Jones at Quantum Vision Centers, 866-260-EYES. He's a longtime friend of the show and practices complete eye care in the metro area, from routine eye exams to LASIK and custom cataract surgery. Dr. Jones can get it done for you. Board certified in ophthalmology, assistant professor at SLU. He sees patients at several locations in the St. Louis area. Tell him I sent you. 866-260-EYES, Dr. Michael Jones.